fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. Long-distance runners from Namibia, Morocco, and Ethiopia posted marathon victories over the weekend in Japan and Spain. Ladies first, the Namibian Helalia Johannes, the reigning Commonwealth Games champion, won the Nagoya Women's Marathon in Japan on Sunday, clocking 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 25 seconds. The Kenyans Viseline Jepkesho and Valerie Jameli finished second and third, respectively, while Ethiopian star Meseret Defar finished fourth. The 35-year-old Defar was competing in only her second marathon, and she took nearly 4 minutes off her previous best with a time of 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 33 seconds. Now, our Voice of America listeners will remember Meseret is a 2-time Olympic champion and 2-time world champion on the track at 5,000 meters. Also in Japan, Moroccan runner Salah Eddine Bounassar won the Lake Biwa Marathon in a personal best of 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 52 seconds. Bounassar outkicked Ethiopia's Assefa Tefera and South Africa's Stephen Makoka in the final stages. Tefera also set a personal best with a time of 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 56 seconds. And Makoka crossed the finish line 2 seconds later. In Spain, runners from Ethiopia swept the men's and women's titles at the Barcelona Marathon. Ethiopia-born Alemu Bekele, who competes internationally for Bahrain, won the men's race in 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 4 seconds. His time was more than 5 minutes faster than his previous marathon best. And Ethiopia's Kuftu Tahir also set a personal best in the women's race, clocking 2 hours, 24 minutes, and 44 seconds. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Elsewhere, the London Big Half Marathon whetted the appetites for next month's full marathon in the British capital. Mo Farah retained his title with a second successive win over Kenya's Daniel Wanjiru. The former world record holder Wilson Kipsang finished further down the field, but all the talk was what this would mean when Farah and the rest take on the current world record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya. The energetic Andy Edwards tells us more from London.
We now know that Mo Farah continues to grow in stature as a marathon runner, having won the Chicago title last October and accomplished a solid win in difficult, windy conditions in London on Sunday. He ran faster than in victory here a year ago, winning in 61 minutes 15, 1 second ahead of his training partner, Bashir Abdi of Belgium, while Daniel Wanjiru finished third, a further second behind. Wanjiru, who won the London Marathon 2 years ago, looks in very good shape, but the post-race questions for the winner were all about the coming contest against the world marathon record holder, Eliud Kipchoge.
I'm definitely confident. I think the key in the marathon is being able to believe in yourself and feel the ability that your confidence, you can mix in with the others. And I feel like, you know, having learned so much from London Marathon third, Chicago, winning Chicago, I'm definitely a better athlete than I was going into from last year, in my opinion. But at the same time, you know, in 6 weeks' time, it's going to be one of the toughest races of my life.
Mo Farah will be back at his Ethiopian training base by midweek, and the 4-time Olympic champion and his coach, Gary Locke, are well aware what a formidable challenge Eliud Kipchoge represents. The defending London champion appears to be in a league of his own, especially after breaking the world record in Berlin last September. Farah is both a realist and optimist.
To be honest, in my opinion, I think Eliud can be beaten. Eliud has probably have more pressure than anyone else. He's run a lot faster than anyone else. He's the nearest person is you're looking at it's 2:03, 2:04. He's got 2.5 minutes lead over them. So really, if you're going to go and bet, you probably put all your money on to Elliott. But at the same time, anything can happen. That's part of the sports. And I think if I can go in now confidence, and how happy I've been with the training for the last 2 months, if I can go in next 6 weeks thinking I've done everything I need to do, then I don't need to worry.
There are plenty of questions to be answered in the London Marathon on April 28. Among them is, what kind of challenge can Wilson Kipsang pose? The man who broke the world marathon record in 2016 finished sixth in the London Big Half, clocking 64 minutes and 7 seconds. Now that was almost 3 minutes behind Farah and the top three. But Kipsang believes he can still be a contender.
For me, I trust myself. I think for the remaining 5 weeks, I'm going to work on my speed and work on my endurance very well. And I think I'm really in a position to run a good time. Yeah, I'm hoping to run maybe a 2:03 or 2:04.
Current speculation also highlights the difference between the big city marathons and the championship races. When it comes to the latter, where pacemakers are absent, Mo Farah believes he has a better chance of defeating Eliud Kipchoge. Intriguingly, Farah has also mentioned recently a possible return to championship racing on the track, perhaps the 10,000 metres in this year's World Championships in Doha. But the Olympic marathon in Tokyo next year remains his priority.
I think it all just depends on what happens after London and the next marathon and then 2020, as you said, around the corner. I think if I look at it right now, what's my best chance of getting a medal in the Olympics? I think it might most likely be right now in the marathon.
For the next 6 weeks, Mo Farah will be putting the finishing touches to his preparation at his usual training base in Ethiopia, while Eliud Kipchoge prepares in Kenya. These two heavyweights, at least in pedigree, of distance running, should be in razor-sharp form for the London Marathon on the last Sunday in April. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, one of London's favorite football clubs, the Gunners of Arsenal, posted a big Premier League victory over the weekend. Joining us now with more details is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Arsenal leapfrogged Manchester United into the top four after the Gunners' 2-0 victory at Emirates Stadium inflicted the first league defeat of a Laguna Socios caretaker tenure. Swiss midfielder Granit Xhaka gave the hosts a 12-minute lead when his speculative long-range strike somehow deceived David De Gea in the Red Devils' goal, before Gabon striker Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang doubled the hosts' lead from the penalty spot. The result sees Arsenal extend their unbeaten home league run to 15 matches and moves them into fourth spot, 2 points above Manchester United, who dropped to fifth. Two goals each from Senegalese star Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino helped Liverpool to keep in touch with the English Premier League leaders Manchester City with a 4-2 win over lowly Burnley at Anfield. Jurgen Klopp's side moved to 73 points, one behind defending champions Manchester City, who beat Watford 3-1, thanks to a superb hat-trick from forward Raheem Sterling.
Prince, Sterling's hat-trick was certainly special. Let's stay with the Premier League. It seems like Chelsea missed a great opportunity to gain ground on their Premier League top four rivals over the weekend.
That's right, Sonny. Chelsea's bid to finish in the Premier League's top four took a blow, as the Blues were held to a 1-1 draw by Wolverhampton Wanderers. The visitors appear to be cruising to a win after Raul Jimenez had given Wolves the lead early in the first half, but Hazard tied things up in the final minutes. Maurizio Sarri's side have 10 Premier League matches left to overhaul fourth-place Manchester United, who are currently 2 points ahead of the sixth-place Blues. Goals from Jan Valery and James Ward-Prowse conjured a spectacular comeback win for Southampton, who stunned Tottenham Hotspurs 2-1 at St Mary's after being completely outclassed in the first half. The loss also condemned Spurs to a fourth successive Premier League game without a win, their worst run since 2017.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince Nesta is looking at some of the highlights from the weekend in European club football. Prince, let's turn our attention to France. It looks like the race to qualify automatically for next season's UEFA Champions League is really heating up.
Right on, Sonny. Lille strengthened its chances of qualifying automatically for next season's Champions League. French-born Ivorian professional footballer Nicolas Pepe once again made the difference for Lille, scoring in the 88th minute after going on a run down the right wing, cutting inside and firing a shot which deflected off defender Neven Subotic. It was Pepe's 17th league goal, level with PSG striker Edinson Cavani in second place in the scoring charts, behind PSG's French forward of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe on 24. Olympique Lyon showed their best and worst sides as they squandered a two-goal lead in a 2-2 French league draw at Strasbourg, ahead of their Champions League clash with Barcelona. French footballer of Malian descent Moussa Dembélé's double was cancelled out in the space of 103 seconds in the second half, when Ludovic Ajoku also netted twice after Lyon lost centre-back Marcelo to a thigh injury. The result put third-place Lyon on 50 points from 28 games, 7 behind second-place Lille. Italian striker of Ghanaian descent Mario Balotelli's love affair with Marseille continued when the striker gave them a 1-0 home win against his former club Nice. Marseille now lies fourth on 47 points from 28 games, 3 behind third-place Lyon. Runaway league leaders Paris Saint-Germain's match at Nantes was postponed, with police resources stretched due to a 17th straight weekend of anti-government protests from the widespread Yellow Vest movement.
Prince, you mentioned Lyon's Champions League clash this week with Barcelona. Barcelona superstar Lionel Messi sure looks to be in top form, Prince, ahead of Wednesday's match.
That's right, Sonny. Lionel PlayStation Messi created a goal and scored another as Barcelona came from behind to beat struggling Rayo Vallecano 3-1 at home. The win, which followed successive victories over Real Madrid in the league and Copa del Rey, restored Barca's 7-point gap over nearest challengers Atletico Madrid, who earned a 1-0 victory at home to Leganés. Real Madrid also bounced back from their midweek loss to Ajax in the UEFA Champions League with a 4-1 win over Real Valladolid, thanks to a brace from French footballer of Algerian descent Karim Benzema. The win is only Real's second in their last four La Liga matches and pushes the gap to fourth place Getafe to 6 points. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, American star Serena Williams has withdrawn from the BNP Paribas Open in California because of a viral illness. Craig Gabriel reports from Indian Wells, California.
There was no indication that Serena Williams was unwell when she walked on court to play Garbine Muguruza. The Spaniard had beaten her the last time they met, which was in the final of the 2016 French Open. Serena had a 3-2 advantage in the head-to-head stakes, and the way the match started, it seemed the American would extend that lead. Serena went up 3-love, but suddenly she was slowing down. Her serve lost pace, and her movement was indifferent. Muguruza swept through the set 6-3. Serena called for medical attention, but decided to continue, only to last one more game, retiring with Garbine up 6-3, 1-love.
I mean, I think she started very well the first games, and I also came back and started to play better. So, I don't know, probably at the end of the first set or in the change of sets, then I saw the trainer was on court.
Were you sensing that a lot of pace had come off her serve, maybe not moving as well as you'd expect.
Sometimes she serves really hard. I feel sometimes she chooses the right location. I don't know really. But at the end of the first set, I felt that maybe she wasn't feeling well.
Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal advanced. Federer struggled a bit in the second set with his serve before beating Peter Goyovchek 6-1, 7-6.
Well, I think I played well in the first set and he didn't. And then things go very quickly. Second set, I think he saved some crucial break points, you know, with good serving. And I think his serve really picked up. And I think I struggled a little bit with my serving, you know, in that second set. That gave him chances. And then I think because he was serving better, he started to swing more freely. And, you know, then it was tough. But I'm really happy I found a way in that second set, actually. So it's normal to not quite find your zone sometimes on the serve or whatever it may be. Because, you know, the ball flies different here in Indian Wells than it did in Dubai again. And again, you know, the conditions today are different than they were the last few days. And ball doesn't always exactly drop where you want it to be. But for a first round, I actually felt really good. So if I would have served maybe a little bit better, I think things would have gone faster. But at the end, it was a tough second set, and it's maybe also exactly what I needed. I don't know.
Nadal crushed American Jared Donaldson under the lights 6-1, 6-1. Simona Halep and Kei Nishikori had wins, but they were tight. Marin Cilic had no issues, while John Isner and Kyle Edmund lost just two games each in their respective matches. Stan Wawrinka beat Martin Fukovits in three sets after five match points, and between them had 48 break points in the match. Wawrinka now takes on Federer. David Goffin and Yelena Ostapenko were upset. Craig Gabriel, Indian Wells for VOA Sport.
Thanks, Craig. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. By the way, American tennis star Serena Williams was playing her first tournament since the Australian Open in late January when she lost in the quarterfinals. This is also the second time in 4 years that Serena has withdrawn at Indian Wells. She returned to the California Desert Tournament in 2015 after a 15-year boycott. That year, she reached the semifinals before withdrawing against Simona Halep. And speaking of Halep, the Romanian star is seated second among the women at Indian Wells. She defeated Ukrainian qualifier Katerina Kozlova 7-6 and 6-3 in the third round. Just ahead, Samson Omale will have a package of African sports news for us.
We begin with the wrap of the CAF Confederations Cup matches played across various venues on the African continent this past weekend. In Group A, Raja Casablanca remained bottom of the group following a goalless draw with Hassani Agadir, who occupied third spot, while RS Bakani sealed top spot in the group after cruising to a 3-0 victory over Otoho de Oyo. In Group B, CS Faxien moved top of the group with a 2-1 win over Etoile du Sahel at the Stade Taïb Mahiri, while Enugu Rangers of Nigeria maintained their hopes of qualifying for the next round with a 1-1 draw away to Salitas. Ifeanyi George gave Rangers the lead in the 33rd minute, while Elise Swadongo restored parity for the home side on the 50th minute. In Group C, Nkana took control of Group C after thrashing Zesco United 3-0 on Sunday afternoon, while in the other group match, Walid Bahit Hamid's 33-minute strike was cancelled out by Yakubu Sangene as Asante Kotoko drew 1-1 with Al Hilal. In Group D, Petro de Luanda kept their knockout stage hopes alive with a 2-0 victory over N.A. Hussein Dier on Sunday afternoon, while Zamalek thumped Kenyan outfit Gomahia 4-0 to move to the top of Group D on Sunday night. Away from football to boxing, where unbeaten Nigeria heavyweight prospect Ife Ajaba took a dominant performance against veteran Amir Mansour in Saturday's PBC on Fox opening bout, stopping Mansour just after two rounds. The result was total domination as the big and athletic Nigerian, who is trained by Ronnie Shields, unleashed his power shots. Mansour, with 16 knockouts to his name, was down twice in the first round, totally unable to handle the power power of Ife Ajagba, which is no great surprise. And now to table tennis news. Over 150 youngsters have participated in the annual Uganda National Junior Table Tennis Championship. Winners are expected to book a spot in the country's national team. Ronald Andida, Secretary General of the Ugandan Table Tennis Federation, says the National Junior Table Tennis Championship has helped them identify more young players from various schools.
And the young kids really are the future of the game, so we have to include them in our planning processes and selection processes as well. But we are looking forward to selecting a good team, not just for the competition purposes, but for future games.
Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta has declared that African Cup of Nations bound Harambee Stars, the Kenya Rugby Union, and select cash-strapped sporting federations will now receive full funding from the government. President Kenyatta made a promise during the Beyond Zero Half Marathon that was held on Sunday in Nairobi.
I want to assure you that our rugby teams will be fully sponsored by the government this year.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
In National Basketball Association action Sunday, the Philadelphia 76ers celebrated the return of all-star Cameroonian center Joel Embiid with a big victory over the visiting Indiana Pacers. Embiid returned to the court after being sidelined nearly a month by a sore left knee. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The 76ers got a big second half effort from center Joel Embiid as they picked up a key Eastern Conference win with a 106-89 win over the Pacers. Embiid hit a pair of free throws toward the end of the third quarter that put Philadelphia ahead to stay, then scored 8 points during an 18-7 run that allowed the Sixers to take control of the game. Embiid scored 26 of his game-high 33 points in the second half after missing the last 8 games with a knee injury.
As the game kept going, I just kept getting better, getting to the line helped a lot too, and the game started slowing down for me.
Tobias Harris had 16 for the Sixers.
It was a good win, but we'll find out how much of that win really means for us going forward. We got to still come in, get to work, get better, and grow as a unit. So we still have a lot of work to do. We can get better in different areas.
Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. The hottest team in the NBA right now is the Houston Rockets, who edged their Texas rival, the Dallas Mavericks, 94-93 on Sunday for their 8th consecutive victory. Elsewhere, the Phoenix Suns, in last place in the Western Conference, pulled off a surprising victory over the first-place Golden State Warriors. The Suns beat the defending NBA champions 115-111. The Suns snapped the longest active losing streak to one opponent at 18 games with that win in Oakland, California. And that wraps up the March 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Vice President of Malawi, Saulos Chilema. The Malayan politician and VOA's Shaka Sali discuss democracy and the upcoming elections. An in-depth look at Malawi's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Have you ever wondered how much our home galaxy weighs? Well, according to recent measurements astronomers call the most accurate made so far, our Milky Way galaxy weighs about 1.5 trillion solar masses. That's the equivalent of 1.5 trillion suns. The astronomers gauge the mass of the Milky Way with the help of NASA's Hubble Space Telescope and the European Space Agency's Gaia satellite. Writing their findings in a study to be published by Astrophysical Journal, the astronomers remark that of the galaxy's total mass, only a few percent comes from what they estimate to be its 200 billion stars and the 4 billion solar mass giant black hole at the center of the Milky Way. The study suggests most of the remaining mass can be attributed to the mysterious and invisible substance known as dark matter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.